But we are so blessed. But we're talking about learn to depend upon his word. This year, tomorrow, we start reading the Bible, all of us together. Now, this is your calendar for the January, month of January. In the back of your calendar, if you haven't gotten a hold of one, they're over there on the left-hand side. Make sure you get a hold of one before we leave tonight. We have all the scripture readings for the month of January. And so every month, we're going to have the scripture readings that we're going to be reading as a congregation, all of us together. The goal is for as many people as possible to get into the habit of reading scripture from cover to cover in the course of 365 days, 1 year. Now, how many of you have been serving the Lord for a very long time? More than 10 years. Okay, more than 5 years. How many have been serving the Lord more than 20 years? Now, this question, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But how many of us that have been serving the Lord for many years can really say, and I don't want you to raise your hand. If you raise it up, it's because you're showing off. So I'd rather you keep it down because we really don't want to know now. This is between you and God. How many of us can say that we've read the Bible from cover to cover in the course of 1 year? And so that's the goal of this congregation. It is to encourage, it is to empower you so that you could get a hold of the Word of God, so that then you can testify like Ben testified and like Debbie testified. Because it is as you get a hold of the Word of God that it gives you the strength. Amen. It gives you the hope. It gives you the longevity, the endurance, so that you'll be able to go through any trial and any tribulation and yet know that you have promises that God has given you. If you don't know the promises, if you don't know the word, then even this walk can be very difficult. So we do encourage you. Again, the calendars are over there in the back table, just in case I forget to announce it before the service ends. And in the back, you'll find the scriptures for this month. Now, in our cottage nights, what we're going to do this year is we're going to get together, and once a month in our cottage nights, we're going to highlight from all the scriptures that we read for those first 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to highlight, take the scriptures that really stood out, and then we're going to use that as our prayer directive. So we're going to be studying the Word of God. And this year, we're not going to use a book other than the Word of God, even in our cottage night. So, man, I am pumped up. I'm hyped. Amen. Because this is going to be an amazing year. Could you imagine how explosive this group here will be if at least 80% of this church can say, I read the Word of God during the year 2018. I'm telling you, we don't have to wait till the end of the year to celebrate. I believe that as you get into the habit of reading the Word of God, you're going to start getting a clearer revelation. You're going to be empowered, amen, to be a vessel used by God to speak into the lives of others. You're going to lose your timidity. You're going to lose your fear. You're going to be enveloped in boldness, amen, and you're going to go and do the work of the ministry, which is to go and save souls. Amen. How many of you are hype with me? Do I got any hype individuals here? Any individuals that are pumped? Amen. Yes. This is going to be exciting. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do during the course of this year as we get into his word. We've always been known as a church of prayer. We've always given a lot of emphasis to prayer, and we've given emphasis to preaching the word, but never have we done this type of endeavor where we've encouraged and are joining together to read and study the word of God together. Amen. Tonight, I just want to give you some words of hope as we end this new year. I want you to open up your Bibles with me, Isaiah chapter 43. And let me tell you something, as you look into your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. I want to tell every one of you here that if I didn't call you friend before, I can call you a friend tonight. Because you came out at this time, in this cold weather, amen, to spend this time with Pastor Margie and I. And more than us, to spend this time in the presence of God. So we call you friend tonight. I know there's many people that are not here because they're sick. Josh is sick. Vasquez. Brother Johnny came, but he's been sick. Sister Blanca is laying in bed. She's sick. We have so many people. Who is? The Lies. The Lie family. Our elders and their children are laid out. They're sick. Amen. And so we have a lot of people that are normally here for this service, but that are out because they're sick. But those of you that did come out, man, you guys are friends tonight. Amen. I wasn't sure what we were going to get. I told Pastor Margie, man, if we get 20 people, I'll celebrate. Amen. And to see you come out this evening and see this beautiful group, it really is encouraging. And it gives us the encouragement to continue doing what God has called us to do. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And I want you to be encouraged tonight through these words. This is what the Lord says to you tonight. He said it to Israel back in the days, but he says it to us tonight. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Again, I will make a way in the wilderness and a river, or rivers, not a river, rivers. That means multiple. What is the name of this church? Not River of Life, but Rivers of Life. And God is saying, amen, that he's going to make rivers for us this year, 2018, in the middle of the desert. And let me tell you something. If there's one place that you don't find a river, you don't find a stream, seldom will you even find an oasis, is in the middle of a desert, in the middle of the wilderness. But God, how many know that God is not regulated by the norm or the natural? Amen. That God is able to do the supernatural. Amen. And so no matter what we've been through this year, God is telling us to be encouraged, because in the midst of whatever situation we're going through, God is going to make a way, and he's going to provide for us rivers in the middle of the wilderness. Now, granted, when Isaiah wrote these words, he wrote it at a time when Israel was going through one of its worst situations in history. They had been taken captive and had been under the oppression of the Babylonian Empire. They had lost everything that they had known. They had lost the land that God had given them. He had promised it to Abraham. He had given them this land that God said would produce milk and honey. They lost the land. They lost the temple. They lost their homes. They lost their belongings. They were carried in chains in captivity to a foreign land that they did not know. They were mistreated. They were abused. Amen. Their city was burned. The temple was destroyed. Amen. And so in the midst of this chaotic situation where things seem to be as dark as they can get, where things seem to be as hopeless as they can get, God raises up this prophet. God raises up this man with a message of hope. How many can thank God for men and women that God brings into our lives when we're going through difficult situations? Has anybody had someone that God has placed in your life to speak a word of encouragement, to speak a word of hope? Amen. When everything around you tells you to quit and to give up, God raises up Isaiah. in the midst of one of the bleakest moments in the history of Israel, to let Israel know, listen, though you're going through the situation, and the reason why you're going through it is because of your own choice, is because of your own doing, because the reason why they were taken enslaved and into captivity was because they rebelled against God, because they disobeyed God, because they took their trust away from God and they placed it on idols. Amen. And so because of their rebellion, because of their sin, because of their disobedience, God had allowed this enemy of them to come in and bring about destruction upon the land and take them captive. But in the midst of all of that, God says, my mercy, my love, my grace for you is greater than your sin. How many of us know that we're not here because we're good? We're not here because we did anything good? We're not here because we're holier than the sinner out there? No, we're here simply because of the mercy of God. We're here because of the grace of God. Had it not been for God's grace, amen, His righteousness, His holiness would have consumed us. But it is because His mercy and His grace that we have not been consumed. And so no matter what we've done and what we've gone through and the things that we have created even for ourselves that merit for us to have been destroyed and even be condemned, amen, God in His mercy and in His love, He seeks to lift us up. He seeks, amen, to raise us out of the miry clay. He seeks to lift us out of the pits that sometimes we get ourselves into because He loves us so much. So no matter what we've done and what we've gone through this year, God is telling us tonight, He's about to make a way for us in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Children of Israel were in captivity. They lost everything that they thought they would keep forever. They were in a foreign land and they were homesick. They had lost the blessings of God, the promise of God. But in the midst of that, God raises up this man and He gives them a promise. Now, I want to apply this strictly to us tonight. What are some of the things that we need to do? Amen. In order for God to do something new in our lives. Remember, He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. The first thing we need to do, amen, and I want you to write that down, amen. You got to refocus. You got to refocus. Sometimes we are easily distracted. The enemy will easily distract us. The world will easily distract us. And the reason many times why we don't experience or walk in the fullness that God has designed for us to walk in is because we're out of focus. And God is telling us tonight, He wants to do a new thing in our lives. But the first thing that He wants to do is to redirect our focus. Has anyone driven a car going forward but with your head turned backwards? What would happen if you drive a car forward, but you got your head looking to the back or looking to the side? It's just a matter of time before you're going to run over someone, or you're going to lose control and you're going to run off the road and hit a tree or hit a light post. Amen. Because when a car is going forward, the focus of he who is driving the car has got to be forward. Amen. And so God is saying, amen, the reason why sometimes we can't move ahead is because God has given us a vehicle to move us forward. God has given us faith. God has given us prophetic words. God has given us revelations. God has given us promise and help. So He's given it to us so that we would move forward with those promises, move forward with the prophetic word, move forward with the things that He has spoken over our lives. But sometimes we stay either in the same spot, or we wind up crashing emotionally, crashing spiritually, because we lose focus. Rather than looking forward, we're looking backwards. Sometimes we're hung up with the things of the past, with the sins of the past, with the things other people have done to us in the past. Amen. And sometimes we hold on to those things for years. I've heard people, amen, that one of the reasons why they can't walk in the fullest potential that God has designed for them is because they're still holding on to grudges, to unforgiveness, to offenses that someone did to them in the past. I get a little bothered when I hear people tell me, Pastor, I can't forgive because they did this and this to me when I was a child. And you hear grown-up people, amen, still using the excuse of what happened to them when they were in a vulnerable stage in their lives. Amen. But the Bible says that it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to act like men and act like women and realize, amen, that the God that saved us, not only did he save us, amen, from sin and condemnation, but he also saved us from the chains and the bondage of our past. God wants to set you free. God wants to take away those things that are holding you back. But he needs for you to So the next time you feel like complaining about what happened to you in the past, you got to talk to yourselves. You know, every so often it's not bad for you to talk to yourself. I don't use the mirror only to look good. There's times I go to the mirror to talk to myself. No, I'm not crazy. I just got to tell myself and remind myself a few things. The next time you want to think and you want to allow the enemy to bring your past, go to the mirror and tell yourself, focus. Tell yourself, stop it. The next time somebody wants to come to remind you of your past, or to accuse you of what happened in your life in the past, or you got, stop, halt, that's it. I don't want to hear it, because that's my past. We all got a past. Even those of us, some people think because I was raised in church, I got a past too. As a matter of fact, my past is worse than yours. Because there's no sin greater than the sin of self-righteousness. And of thinking that you're saved because you were born in a Christian home. That's the sin of self-righteousness. And so we all got a past. The next time someone tries to remind you of your past, and it's not always the devil's people. Sometimes people try to remind you of the past. They try to bring the past out and throw it in your face. Amen. God is telling you tonight, remember not the former things or the things of the past, for he's about to do a new thing. And so what we need to do is refocus. Refocus. What is focus? One of the definitions in the dictionary is a point of concentration. Focusing is a point of concentration. In other words, you got to know where you're going. You got to know where God is taking you. And then when you know where God is taking you, then that's the only thing that you're focused on, is where God wants to take me. It's not where I'm at now. It's not where I was in the past. I am focused on where God has promised to take me. Paul knew what this was about. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, brother, I do not consider that I have made it yet. In other words, I'm not considering myself perfect. I'm not considering myself as someone who has already attained it all. I don't have this thing mastered or down packed, so I'm still fighting. But one thing I do, he says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. In other words, that's focusing. God is saying we need to focus if we want to experience the new things that he says he's going to do this year, 2018. How many like new things? Amen. Listen, I have no problem if you buy in thrift shops. That's okay if you do so. Sometimes you find some good stuff in thrift shops. But I tell you something. Nothing beats getting something new. I have no problems if you buy a used car, but a used car, amen, is not the same as a new car. Amen. I like new things. I like new things. And so the word new really is a word that encourages hope in us. God is saying, I'm not giving you anything refurbished. I'm not giving you, amen, a recycled blessing. I'm not giving you the same old because I just, you know, I ran out of new ideas. No, the God that we serve is a creative God. How many know he didn't stop creating after he did the creation in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? God didn't stop creating. He's creating all the time. That's why the Bible says that for us, he has new mercies every morning. So God is doing a new thing. You might settle for the old thing. You might settle for the recycled thing. You might settle for the secondhand thing. And sometimes in life, that's all we can afford. But when it comes to God, God is willing to give us something new if only we can focus. So this is a new beginning. This is a new season. This is a time for new opportunities. But in order for us to enjoy the new things and the newness of God, we got to forget the things that are in the past and focus in what lies before us. When you continue to dwell on the past, amen, you hinder yourself from moving forward. Now, sometimes we can think of past victories, and that's a good thing. When we experience miracles in the past, it's a good thing for us to remember the things that God has done for us in the past. But sometimes people remember what God did in the past, and they stay stuck there. They're not pursuing anything new. When God is saying, I want to do something new now. Amen? And so God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something new in your marriage. He wants to do something new in this church. He wants to do something new in this community. He wants to do something new with your children. Amen. No matter where your children find themselves right now, it may seem hopeless, but God is saying, I'm about to do a new thing. If only you focus. Just look at what's ahead. Look at what's before you. Focus. Amen. And God will make a way in the areas in your life where it seems impossible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now let me tell you something. When Israel was going through what they were going through, if they deserved anything, it was not a new blessing. They didn't deserve anything new or good from God. They got what they deserve. As a matter of fact, they were living what they deserved. They deserved to be in captivity. They deserved to be under oppression. They deserved to be under the abusive treatment that they were experiencing while they were in Babylon. They deserve to have lost their land. They deserve to have lost the temple. They deserve, amen, what they got was what they deserve. But God is saying, listen, I'm not going to just leave you with what you deserve. I am looking beyond your past, beyond your faults, beyond your mess ups, and I want to do a new thing in your life. Sometimes we go through situations in life, and it doesn't take much for us to understand that what we're suffering is the consequences of bad decisions that we made. What we're suffering is the consequences of bad choices that we made. But how amazing. See, if it's me, I would say, you know something? You made your bed, lay in it. That's the way we think, right? Right? It's the way we think. You got yourself in this mess, get yourself out of it. But God is a good, good father. Now, he's not a spoiling father. Él no es un padre alcahuete. See, the reason why some of our kids do not receive breakthrough is because we're spoiling fathers. That's not the type of God he is. He allowed Israel
to experience
chastisement. He allowed Israel to experience punishment, but he didn't leave them there. Amen. He promised that he would raise them up. He promised that he would set them free. He would deliver them from this bondage that they found themselves in. Amen. Now, so, refocus. Refocus, number one. Number two, if you want to see God do something in your life, is not only to focus on something, but make sure you have a clear focus. Make sure that you know what is it that God has for you. God does not keep secrets from us. When God has a purpose for our lives, he reveals it to us. When God has a calling for our lives, he reveals it to us. Amen. He doesn't keep it a secret from us. And so when God speaks into your life, how many have gotten a prophetic word in this house? How many have gotten a vision where God has spoken to you? And you know that it was God and he was speaking to you clearly. Amen. So now he wants to, what he does when he speaks to you is he wants to clarify your vision so that your focus would be clear. Discover what God wants for you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See. The word see, that's key there. See. In other words, God is not doing a new thing behind the scenes. God is not doing a new thing hidden. God is not keeping this new thing a secret from us. No, he's saying, see, I am doing a new thing. And now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? How many know that many times for us to understand the things that God has for our lives, we're not always going to see it with our physical eyes, but we can perceive it in our spirit. We can perceive it in our spirit. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Amen. Amen. Don't always look for vision and revelation. Just perceive it in your spirit. When God has a purpose or a calling on your life, amen, he allows you to witness it in your spirit. And so when you witness it, when you see it, how whatever form he uses, what he's bringing is clarity. So he wants your focus to be clear. My question to you this evening is, as you view your life in this coming year, or as you try to get an idea of where you're headed, as you sit down and you write down, or you have dialogue with somebody about the plans that you have for this coming year, how do you see your life? What do you see when you view your life? Do you see possibilities? Do you see breakthroughs? Do you see problems and more problems and more problems? Amen. God wants to make it clear to you, amen, that he is making a way in the desert. And he's making rivers for you in the wasteland. The children of Israel had a choice. They could either view their past and their problems of their present, or they could focus on what God wanted to do in their lives. And so we also have a choice. We could continue the same pattern and the same trend and the same habits that we had in the year 2017, or we can choose, we can make a choice to change our habits. We can make a choice to discipline ourselves. Part of reading scripture this year, that's going to test your determination. That's going to test your disposition as to whether or not you really want to grow in God. If you want to know more about God, guess what's the best place for you to know more about God? It's in the Word. You want to get a clear revelation of who God is? Get into the Word of God. Amen. You're not going to get a clearer revelation of God than the revelation that is of him in the Word. Amen. And so, what are we going to do? That's the choice. We have choices that we need to. Either we're going to stay stuck in the same old, or we're going to make a determination and say, no, I'm moving forward. I'm getting into the Word of God. I'm doing what Brother Ben had said in his testimony, I'm going to increase my prayer life. I'm going to get more intimate with God. I'm going to get more serious with God. And I'm not talking about simply making resolutions. I'm talking about you making a determination. You disposing yourself to doing the things that you know you need to do that will allow you to become the person that God has created you to become. To become the vessel that God has created you to become. Amen. Your disposition determines your success. Your disposition determines your success. You know, how many know that God used a mule, an animal, to talk to a prophet, right? Well, I'm going to share a secret with you. The other day, we were at the Chinese restaurant. And Pastor Margie's not here. Don't tell her. She loves fortune cookies. She just loves a cookie. But when you know, there's that little paper that's written in there, you know. And I'm not saying that's written by a man of God. But I'm saying if God used a mule to speak to the prophet, God could use a little paper and a cracker, amen, to speak to you. Amen. Remember, it's not about what vessel he used. It's about him trying to get your attention. And the other day, she opened up one of the fortune cookies, and we were reading it. And this is what it says. It says, your precision does not determine your success. It is your disposition. And I said, whoa, hallelujah. Praise God that God will use even the devil to kind of slap us silly. Because sometimes we get hooked up on precisions. What precision I get at work? I want a better precision. I want a supervisory precision. What precision I get in church? You know, that guy came after me. He's already in a precision. He's got a precision. She's got a precision. How could that be? I've been here for so many years, and they got me sitting down. I'm only doing housekeeping, and when I should have a precision because I've been here. Amen. But, you know, your success is not determined by your precision. It's determined by your disposition. There's people that have precisions in this church, but they don't have a disposition. And so God will use the precision that they're in to prove to them, you know, I've weighed you, and I found you lacking. So don't get all bent out of shape because there's people in positions that are not meeting up to the standards. Amen. God places people in positions sometimes as a way of weighing them in the balance, in the scale, to see whether they measure up. So don't get hooked up and don't get caught up on positions. What you need to be working on this year now, 2018, is your disposition. Will you dispose yourself, amen, to get into the Word of God? Will you dispose yourself to be a part of what God is doing in this church? Will you dispose yourself to be a part of the prayer ministry? Will you dispose yourself to be here every time that this church opens up its door for service? Are you disposed to be a part of what God is doing, regardless of what precision you have or don't have? That's going to determine your success this year. Now, the fortune cookie was not on my outline, but that just came up now. Amen. Hallelujah. And so number three, and with this I'm done. Amen. Very simple, just three easy steps that we need to follow. And they all connected to these two verses that I read, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. We're going into a new season. God is about to do a new thing. Amen. But he wants us to focus. He wants our focus to be clear. And number three, he wants us to be committed to his plan and not ours. We need to be committed. What is the plan of God for your life this year? Do you know what is God's plan for your life for this year? If you know, or if you're going to discover it, even now as the year begins, What God wants at the end of the day is for you, once you discover what God's plan is for your life, is for you to be committed to that plan. In other words, stay focused, keep your focus clear, press in, and do not quit until you see God's plan for your life coming to pass. Whatever that plan is, might be different for me than it is for you. But God has a plan for every family in this church. God has a plan for every individual in this congregation. Not only those of us that are here tonight, but everybody that's a part of this fellowship. God has a plan for us individually, but God has a plan for us also corporately. Amen. Remember, the vision of this church is to carry the glory of God from the valley to the mountains and beyond, and to see people being restored, not only physically, financially, but also spiritually, to see people being saved. Amen. If you don't have a specific plan that God has spoken clearly into your life, then you're part of a corporate plan that God has for this church, and that is for us to carry the glory of God. Amen. Wherever He takes us, amen, and allow that glory of God to shine through us and shine in us so that we'll be able to reach people in the dark places of life, that we'll be able to shine people out of the darkness. You know that when light comes into a dark room, it causes the darkness to dissipate. What God wants is for you to walk into places and cause the darkness of this world to just vanish, because His glory has come in. God wants you to go into your workplace. God wants you to go into the schools. God wants you to go into the community. God wants you to go to whatever party you're going tonight. If you're going to hang out with family tonight, God doesn't want you to leave the glory outside. Amen. And for you to get involved with all the darkness that might be taking place. Amen. In the gatherings of family. God wants you to take the glory with you into that place and cause the light of God to shine. Be committed to God's plan. So, focus. Make sure your focus is clear. And stay committed to the plan that God has for you. God has already set into motion the events and the people who will lead you out of your captivity. If you find yourself in captivity this year, you find yourself that, man, I find myself in a spiritual rut. I find myself in a financial rut. I find like I have not been able to get ahead this year. God has already set in motion the people that will help you come out of that place, a spiritual, financial, whatever captivity you find yourself into. God has already set in motion. Amen. But it is we who must decide. In other words, God has a plan to get us out of the situation that we find ourselves in, but we make the final decision. If we refuse, then no matter how great a plan God has, we will find ourselves at the end of this year, 2018, in the same rut. We will find ourselves in the same situation. We will find ourselves in the same bondage, in the same, amen, tied up by the same chains. But if we make a choice, then God has already set in motion the people and the things that He's about to do to lead us out of whatever captivity we find ourselves in. For He is our God, and we are His people. Psalms 95, verse 7 and verse 8. We are the people of His pastures and the sheep of His hand. If we hear the voice of God tonight, amen, then I could tell you is a new beginning, is a new season that awaits us in this year 2018. Be blessed tonight. Amen. May these words encourage you. Amen. May you take hold of the promises of God. May you get a clear focus, a clear vision of what God has for you. And then stay focused, be committed. Don't quit, don't give up. Amen. For God has already set in motion what you need to be delivered, what your son, what your daughter needs to be delivered out of that captivity that they find themselves in. God has already set it in motion. Father, we want to thank you tonight. Amen. For your word. We want to thank you for your promises. which are true. Your promises are yea and amen. We thank you, Lord, because in the same manner that you delivered Israel, Lord, from their darkest hour, I know that you can deliver people in this congregation that are going through crisis. We speak about these families that are going through physical crisis right now. Our brother Johnny, Lord, facing this battle with cancer. Our sister Blanca, Lord, and so many others that are going through spiritual battles, physical battles, oh God, relational, financial battles. Father, we are decreeing and we are declaring that your promises, oh God, will see them through in this year 2018. We declare that this will be a new beginning. This will be a new season for this church and everyone that's connected to this body, God. And so we speak, oh Lord, and we say we forget the things of the past, and we stay focused on what lies ahead. And as we do, we will be truly rivers of life. Rivers of life. Not only will we experience rivers of life, but we will truly be rivers of life to this lost and dying world. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.